Okay, holiday craft ideas, because I know you like it. And yes, it'll be educational for your children in lots and lots of ways. So lots of holiday ideas. Some of you are going to say, oh, no, you should not say holiday. You should say Christmas. But as soon as I hear that, also some people say, no, you should not celebrate Christmas. You should be celebrating Hanukkah. One year, not long ago, I was visiting in a Shabbat service that happened to be on December the 25th. And the respected founding leader of that congregation spent 90 minutes in his sermon, which I thought at the time could have been reduced to the one sentence. And that sentence would have been this: don't be a jerk. So this is what a leading messianic clergyman is saying to his congregation, because it was necessary. Okay, so whatever it is that you celebrate before God, celebrate it with all your might and teach your children. So I am not going to take a position in this particular episode. I'm just going to give you ideas of what to do with your children. Okay? And make use of that, okay? And don't give me any argument about which holiday, okay? Just take what you can and adapt it. All right, will you please? Okay. All right. And some of you, years ago, I said something about Advent, and because that wasn't Pentecostal enough for you or evangelical enough for you, oh, some of you just unsubscribed. Okay, fine. Just do without. Right? Good grief. Just like that guy said, don't be a jerk. Just take what you can. You know, you need to pull your head out of your own prejudices and focus on your children. Okay. And, you know, it might not be a bad idea to learn what's good about some other traditions. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Holiday to-do ideas with your kids. And what does that have to do with learning disabilities? Well, possibly nothing directly, but indirectly. Gosh, these children need to have some positive interaction. They need to have something positive. And, you know, if they're not doing well with schoolwork and they're craft-oriented or artistic-minded, then hallelujah. But, you know, all of our children need to be learning something. And this is really part of teaching faith and teaching culture. So, woohoo! It's fun. And I know you like when I tell you activities to do with kids. Okay. Right, holiday craft ideas for your children, whichever holiday you celebrate. Now, I know you love the to-do things. So, all right, we've talked about that. So, first off, let's talk about crafts to give away. Okay, so whether it's Christmas gifts or Hanukkah gifts, give something away. So, of course, potholders always work. Macrame belts always work. You know, this is knotting. So you may be able to find an O-ring or a gear binder and then put some heavy cord on it and just simple knots. And you can make a belt or you can make something more substantial. If you go to a craft store, you can, with knotting, make a picture, you know, of an animal, or a cross is a good one. Make, depending on how fine the cord is, you know, you might be able to make a bookmark and so forth. So there's a lot of things in the craft stores for you. Macrame belts. How about hair ribbons and hair ties? So you can get the metal barrettes and glue or sew ribbon onto it. Or more simply, so that's really more for elementary plus children, right? But even for your very small children, you could cut lengths of, say, velvet ribbon, fold the ends over, and cut a piece of elastic and sew that together. And even a fairly small child, like I'm thinking 4, might be able to handle a needle and thread and be able to do that with you. Or if not, you could do the, you know, the sharp part, but they could work with you, cut it and so forth. And very quickly there you could have hair bands. One thing I remember, I did this as a child in the first grade. We made snowflakes. Apparently it was memorable because I thought it was really wonderful. So we got the little boxes, the plastic boxes that blueberries come in, and then we cut the bottoms out in snowflake shapes, and so they were already plastic with fenestrations. Okay, so when we cut it in any kind of a shape, then it made a snowflake, and then we just glued glitter on. Oh my goodness, glitter. Children love glitter, but watch out because glitter is small pieces of metal, and so you want to be careful that it doesn't get in eyes. So this is a warning to you. You'll watch your kids with the glitter closely. Supervise them, okay? Other gifts. Of course, artwork is always wonderful, and you might try paint by number, or even paint this picture, you know, and you can have several pictures and give them away to different relatives, you know. You know, so for instance, it could be a nativity scene for a Christian family, okay, and we could all work on the same Christmas theme with paint. And you know, maybe you have 2 sets of grandparents and 3 sets of aunts and uncles, and they might all enjoy that. Okay, so let's also think about all the things that one might make out of Play-Doh. Now, commercial Play-Doh is constructed to not harden, but homemade Play-Doh can harden. So so you can make things that can last. Now, in my family, when I grew up and then when I did this, I just mixed flour and salt and water, and that was good. But there is a cooked Play-Doh recipe, which may be a little better. You can try it out. So here's the recipe for the cooked Play-Doh. And I have this with credit to Jeanette Fullerton. Mrs. Fullerton was a Sunday school teacher when my daughter was in about first grade. And so, shout out to the Fullerton family, wonderful educator who has preceded me. Okay, so here is her cooking Play-Doh. 1 cup of flour. Now we're meaning white flour, 1 cup of water, 2 teaspoons of salt, 2 teaspoons of cream of tartar, and 1 tablespoon of any coloring. So we're talking about food coloring. Mix the dry ingredients in a heavy pan. Mix oil, water, food coloring, and combine and cook. This is what it says. I didn't read anything about oil. Add oil of cinnamon or peppermint. Okay, there you go. That must be the oil. So you'll only need a few drops of that. Wrap in a plastic bag and store in a coffee can or other container to preserve. Now, I remember this was a finer Play-Doh, whereas the Play-Doh that we made had a lot of salt in it, and therefore was a little granular. This has very little salt in it, but it, and so it was smoother. And Mrs. Fullerton made beautiful Christmas ornaments out of it that we still have. So, and of course the children painted them or whatever. So out of Play-Doh, it's possible to make Christmas ornaments, it's possible to make figurines, it's possible to make medallions, all kinds of things in the kinds of symbols that are meaningful to you and your family, okay? So you could make little menorahs or, you know, hammers or whatever for the Maccabees. So, also, of course, greeting cards. So you can have children construct greeting cards in many, many different ways. And I think I've already talked about that another year. So you can have potato prints, you can have spirographs, you can have the Montessori traced shapes to make designs, and of course just plain drawing and so forth. And you can use typing paper if you have nothing else and just fold it four times, and or you can, you know, do some on the printer and everything. So whatever your creativity suggests and your situation suggests, work with it with your children, okay? And really work with them to write something and to mail it, you know, add it in with your Christmas letters and so forth. The real act of really mailing something is very instructive to children, and you should work with them on their thank you cards after Christmas too. My mother's rule was you had to write a thank you note for every gift you got where the person wasn't present, because if they were present, you thanked them and kissed them by your family. But if they weren't present, they got a thank you note for that Christmas gift, and they had to be written by the first of the year. And it was a big deal if they weren't. I mean, that's not going to happen. So it's very important. And even if your child can just barely write, that just barely writing is part of it, you know, even if they can only sign their name and you can write the rest of it. But if they can write thank you and their name, have them do that. And then when they're older, enforce that they compose and write the letter and mail it. Okay, and that should be a family project. That's an important literacy and an important comportment lesson, right? You need to know how to comport yourself. You have to know about thank you notes to be competent. I mean, how many job opportunities are lost because the candidates don't write thank you? And conversely, how many businesses look very bad because they haven't thanked the people they have interviewed? Anyway, okay. And then there are decorations. Okay, all kinds of possible decorations. We've already mentioned things you could do with Play-Doh. There is a wonderful thing called chenille stems. Well, you may know about pipe cleaners, or maybe you don't. I haven't seen them in a while, but I'm sure they're available in a craft store and probably in a pipe store. So pipe cleaners are maybe, 10 inches or so, and they're wire with enough fuzz, so two wires twisted around with enough fuzz. So the idea was they were originally constructed to clean out pipes, but because they're wire and fuzzy in different colors, you can make all kinds of things. So you can make little men, little reindeer, little symbols, whatever you like. And so, you know, in one tradition, they like to have a chrysanthemum tree. So they, yes, it's a Christmas tree, but it's full of Christian symbols. And so they can talk about the symbols, you know, like the fish symbol or whatever. So, but another thing besides pipe cleaners is called chenille stems. So chenille stems are well, came from the idea of pipe cleaners, but they were manufactured for florists. And so chenille stems, I've only seen them in green, and the fuzz is much more pronounced and in waves. And so this, I suppose, was meant to use instead of greenery, but we had chenille stems because we had somebody in the family who was in the floral business. And so we often use chenille stems for part of our Christmas decorations in terms of permanent foliage. So for instance, on the top of the piano, my mother had set up so we had, they weren't plastic, but anyway, little reindeer. And then she arranged to get a little Santa and a little wicker sleigh. And then she put wrapping paper ribbon as reins. And we put chenille stems for the tops of the trees, I guess. So, yes, you might not want to do Santa, but that's not the point. Okay, so another thing that we did, and you really need to think about this instead of just reject it out of hand, okay? So the liturgical tradition churches, you know, the Lutheran and the Methodist and the Presbyterian, Anglican, whatever, the ones who have liturgy, one of the things they like to do is have an Advent wreath. So the 4 weeks before Christmas, they are preparing for the coming of the Lord. Pentecostal churches would use that time to talk about the second coming, right? Advent means coming. But the historical churches are spending the 4 weeks before Christmas preparing for the coming of the Lord as a baby, and then they'll spend 6 weeks preparing for Resurrection Day, for Good Friday and Resurrection Day, which they would call Lent. Okay, so Advent. So one of the things that they do sometimes in their churches, have an Advent wreath and light candles and have scripture reading. But they also encourage families to do that. And so if your family is not doing family devotions, this is a good way to start, is to have, like maybe Sunday evening, have a time of prayer and scripture reading and lighting of a candle. And normally my family put a round wreath on the table and the candle somehow, you know, on the table, but in the wreath. Okay. So now, when I was young and started involving myself in a particular kind of Pentecostal Lateran thing, oh, we would never do greenery, that was all pagan, blah, blah, blah. So, yes, I know that the more evangelical traditions are not used to Advent or Advent wreaths, but the point is here, family devotions. And at Advent, it's all planned out. So you could probably go online and get it, or you can construct it yourself and have scriptures that have to do with Easter. But if you don't follow Advent, I would encourage you to do something about having family devotions. And having something multi-sensory is always good for the kids, right? So prayer, Bible study, and something. I'm going to argue. So, now, if you're in the Messianic portion of Christianity, you're not going to be talking about Christmas in such words. You're going to talk about Hanukkah. But along with that, what many, well, both Christians and Messianic, you know what I'm saying, everybody seems to overlook the stories of the Maccabees. And this is important history, and things can be learned from. I discovered that, in fact, there is some controversy within the rabbinic traditions. I discovered this last year. I was studying Maccabees. But Maccabees does suggest new stories to learn and new crafts and activities. So talk about the Hanukkah miracle of the oil in the temple. It comes more or less out of the Maccabees stories. So the rabbinic tradition is going to talk more about the miracle of the candles, but there is another tradition that talks more about the history of the Maccabee family and their revolt against Rome. And in today, when we need to inculcate the masculinity of our males, and when we need to have real heroes instead of cartoon superheroes, then Maccabee is a great thing to talk about. So you could make seven branch candlesticks and talk about the miracle of the oil. You could have a diorama of the temple. You could talk about what it would mean to have your country occupied and they're making you do things that are against your religion. In that case, it was eat pork. Maybe you could have Maccabee games. Now, this is one thing that the Jewish Community Center and their schools do, is have Maccabee games. So it is like a little school Olympics. So they have races, and et cetera, et cetera. And Maccabee means hammer, so there could be something else. And of course, you're familiar with the dreidel thing. And of course, that's literacy, because there are four letters on the dreidel. And you know what? You might want to teach those, you know, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, I think the first four letters are on that dreidel. And, or you might like to make chocolate. So, that's always a wonderful thing, is to cook with the children. Cook with the children. Whatever the traditional treats are in your family, and you should have some traditional treats. My family, everyone loved my mother's fruitcake, and then we had certain cookies, you know. And really, these are cookies that she picked out, but it became a real tradition, like Leib cooking, and we had some chocolate oatmeal cookies, and I liked the butter pecan squares, and the date squares, and so forth. So it doesn't matter which are the traditions that your family like, but have some. Pick some and make them with your children. Now, if your children are too young and you can't have them around the oven, fine. Then make some Jell-O. And you know, you can be creative even with Jell-O. A four-year-old child is going to be happy with just making Jell-O. But if you want to, you know, add some whipped cream, and then you want to add, so take the Jell-O, make it half hard, you know, it's been in the fridge for a while, and then take half the Jell-O and whip it, and then put that as a layer, so you've got red Jell-O, pink Jell-O, and then add some whipped cream. And notice if the red dye hurts your children, then don't do that in the future. But anyway, you can think of cooking ideas that your child can do without cooking, right? Chocolate oatmeal cookies are wonderful because it takes a child to stir it, and it's on the stove, and I can remember standing on a stool and stirring till my arm would fall off. And about that time, oh, it's done, right? Because the sugar had come to the right point at that time, and then we could just drop them on some wax paper, and voila, we had cookies that they weren't baking cookies. Okay. Oh, I've got to wrap this up quick here. So do make some memories and do make some activities. Of course, you want to think about what kind of charity you can have. I have a lot of friends at schools have trike races for St. Jude's. You know, the Thomas family started St. Jude's Hospital for children, and of course, they're Catholic Lebanese family. So don't be upset at the St. Jude, but you know, whatever domestic or foreign mission your church is going into, you can see what the children can do. Of course, a lot of churches have always had bazaars to raise money for whatever projects they were doing, and your children can do that too. And of course, there's all kind of ornaments and gifts. We talked about greeting cards, didn't we? So charity and what they can give away. Yes, we started there. Okay, so have a blessed holiday season. Connect this with the Bible, with faith, with worship, and with the tradition, and that's what our culture was rooted in. Even the songs that are not obviously Christian, like Figgy Pudding, that's part of that. That's English, right? And they were making figs and making a dessert, a squishy dessert that they would call pudding. But it was a sharing time when they started celebrating Christmas, because for some time that, anyway, sometimes that was not permitted in English society. But originally, that was the whole deal. And, you know, because at one time, England was part of the Roman Catholic Church. And then when it came out, still they celebrated Christmas, and it was a time of joy and giving. And then later it was the Puritans who said, no, we can't do that. But it's not that they lacked for celebration. And oh my God, really look into the whole story of Squanto and First Thanksgiving. Look into the difference between the Pilgrims and the Puritans. Man, that will be a wonderful reading project this weekend. And I understand that at Plymouth, now they have their own parade. That's historical. Okay, so I hope that's enough good ideas for you. Please write me and, hey, post on the website your ideas too. Okay, may you be blessed. Nothing missing, nothing broken, with joy and peace in believing.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come.
I know you want to get my Dangerous Times Secrets to Victory for Parents and Educators. You need it. It will revolutionize the way you deal with your children or teach your class. I guarantee it. Vital Teaching, 4 CDs in a set, $50. Write me at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. Of course, you can get that and a lot more right on the website at overcominglearningproblems.org, or of course, greatshalom.org, same site. And by the way, I am seeing on Facebook a lot of questions from new homeschoolers about what I can do and how to start teaching reading and writing. That's there. So the packet of information about homeschooling will help you, and the packet of information about when the road to reading gets rocky. Before it gets rocky, you do the same thing. Teach reading in a multi-sensory fun way. The kids think they're playing, and you know they're learning, and they will learn without tears if you do it right. Simply disambiguate, right? So you don't teach everything at once. Okay, and I teach you how to do it. Go to the website and get it instead of asking people, your friends who don't necessarily know, right? Okay. GreatShalom.org or OvercomingLearningProblems.org.
See you there.